Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Hello, everybody. I hope you're doing well wherever you are. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. So we've got a lot of stuff to cover, a lot of ground to cover today, and I want to respond to a story that's out there from Just the News. Our good friend John Solomon is doing a terrific job of continuing to find these exposés, getting the news and the information that even a lot of the conservative outlets are not able to get. And one of the reasons why, you know, a lot of the conservative outlets, they don't have the experience level on the journalism side to do these deep dives. But John Solomon has a stunning story up. Now, early on, if you remember, after the raid, the FBI raid, the guns-drawn raid at Mar-a-Lago, just after that, President Biden, the White House, was asked about their involvement. And the White House emphatically denied that Joe Biden knew anything about it, which, quite frankly, was believable because Biden doesn't even know what day of the week it is. But now we have information, thanks to the reporting of John Solomon over at justthenews.com, that not only did Joe Biden know about the investigation, Joe Biden actually instigated the investigation that led to the guns-drawn raid on Mar-a-Lago. So what does that mean? That means this is a big deal, everybody, because it means that the Biden administration, and specifically the President of the United States, has weaponized the FBI to target his political enemies. That's way worse than what led to Richard Nixon and Watergate. Way worse. And Richard Nixon was not allowed to remain in office. So JustTheNews.com has really found the smoking gun here. And according to their reporting, the White House facilitated the entire criminal probe against President Trump. This is a big deal, ladies and gentlemen. Now, the mainstream media, they're not going to cover this. I suspect not even Fox News is going to jump into this terribly much. But they should, because ultimately this is the issue of the day. Now, there's a big, big story from the New York Times, and they're talking about the fact that they found 300 classified documents inside Mar-a-Lago. I don't care, because the president has the authority to declassify anything he wants to declassify. As a matter of fact, so does Barack Hussein Obama, and nobody likes him. But he has the right as a president, a former president, to declassify whatever he wants to declassify. So if, in fact, that is not the case, then where is the raid on the $14 million seaside mansion of Barack Hussein Obama and the wife, Mrs. Michelle Obama? Where are the raids over at the ranch in Crawford, Texas, with George W. Bush and the First Lady, Laura Bush? So you can't just say it's okay for everybody else but Trump. You can't say that. This is a big deal. And we can only hope and pray that the Republicans, if they retake Congress in the midterms, will actually launch investigations into all of this. But the New York Times is out there, even Fox News and FoxNews.com, they have editorials now saying that the raid was justified, that Trump has no business holding on to any sorts of documents. Well, the fact of the matter is, there is a long precedent. So you're telling me it's okay for other presidents, but it's not okay for Donald Trump. Is that what they're telling us? Because that is, in fact, what they are saying. That is their argument. John Solomon has uncovered some pretty despicable things. But one thing we now know is clear, that all of this was instigated by the Biden administration. And where does the buck stop? It stops at Joe Biden's desk. That's where it stops. So now we know formally that the Biden administration instigated the investigation that led to the raid, that led to what we are now dealing with, a constitutional crisis of sorts. And by the way, President Trump now warning that this may not be the end of the attacks. And I don't think it is, because keep in mind, nothing criminal has happened here. President Trump has never been charged with a crime. They have tried to frame this man, and by they, I mean the FBI, the swamp in Washington, D.C. They've tried to frame the guy, but nothing ever sticks. So late yesterday, the president filed a motion, and he wants what they call a special master to review all of the documents that have been seized. They went in there, and by the way, the feds, when they go in, they were supposed to go in with a list of things they were looking for, but that's not what they did. They grabbed everything in sight. For hours, they searched Mar-a-Lago. They rummaged through the former First Lady's private things in her closet. And so now the president filing a federal court motion yesterday demanding that the Justice Department give him a list of everything they took, because Trump says, hey, we don't know what they took. We do know they took the president's, he was what, three passports? Two of them were expired. And what did the FBI do? They came out and said, we've never done such a thing. Well, it turns out they had evidence they did, and then they had to walk that back. And how do they walk it back? Well, two of them were expired, so we don't see what the big deal is. You lied and you stole. President Trump is right to be angry about all of this. And by the way, you ought to be angry, too. They're using your tax dollars to attack Donald Trump. But anyway, Trump says, you know what? We're going to be facing more attacks. You better get ready. And what is the point of all of this? The point of all of this is not about Donald Trump. It's about you, the listeners of the Todd Starnes radio program. It's about you. They want to wear you down with these investigations and the raids. And you better believe there are going to be more raids. You better believe that there's going to be a big rally. President Trump's going to be speaking up in Pennsylvania. Don't be surprised if all of a sudden, during the middle of the speech, the entire area is surrounded by flashing lights and the feds get out and they arrest Donald Trump on the stage. Or they go after his kids. We're dealing with some pretty nasty stuff here. The FBI is no longer a fair arbiter here. They are the de facto state police. And they will lie, they will cheat, they will steal, they will fabricate evidence against anybody. I mean, if they can do it against Donald Trump, you better believe they're going to be able to do it against the rest of us. But this is what happens when you allow the Democrats to weaponize something. Elections have consequences. So we'll see how all of this plays out. But the end game is to wear you out. They want you to finally, they want all of you diehard Trump supporters out there to wave the white flag of surrender and say, Todd, we love Trump, but it's time to move on. We're just exhausted every day with the investigations and the allegations and the denunciations. We're just tired of it. A lot of you have already expressed very similar sentiments on this radio program. And that's what they want. They want to wear you down. I got a problem with that. I got a big problem with that. They're not playing fair, people. They're playing dirty. And we know that. They're Democrats. They've got no soul. They're a bunch of godless heathen atheists, most of them. Don't even know their pronouns. The women are men, the men are women. It's a blank show over there. We get that. But you can't let them wear you down, people. You just can't. So we're going to use this radio program as a platform to boost you moving forward between now and Election Day. You're worn out. You say, Todd, I can't go. It's a marathon, people. It's a marathon, and you got to save some energy for the final 0.2 miles to get across that finish line. And that's what we're going to do here on this radio program. We're going to fight till the bitter end. But we can't give up. Now, look, if Donald Trump, in fact, stole all these documents, classified documents, we're going to be out there saying, hey, we were wrong. But I don't think we're wrong. There's way too much evidence. And the evidence points directly at the FBI setting up Donald Trump. And we know that because they've tried it before and have failed. And we have all the documentation. Remember what Peter Strzok said, the disgraced FBI agent. We have an insurance policy. Trump will never be president. Those were the words of the FBI agent. So they're coming for Trump, but they're going to do it by coming after you. That's what this is all about. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. Are you fired up or are you worn out? 844-747-8868. As we go to break, we wanted to honor Dr. Death, the Doctor of Doom, Dr. Anthony Fauci, on the announcement of his looming retirement. And our good buddy, Jim Gossett, came up with this little ditty.
And now the end is near, and I'll be leaving in December. And when Fauci is gone, I hope that people won't remember that I was such a fraud. Oh, how I lied in such a sly way. But more, much more than this, I did it my way. Fauci, I am. I wrote the book to play both sides and be a crook. Big bucks from the Wuhan lab. America, you paid the tab. I faced it all from Rand Paul and did it Fauci's way. I'll make more dough.
We're all feeling the pain at the pump and at the grocery store, too. The market is plunging, and Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. But even worse, seniors are struggling to survive. It's not time to panic, but it is time to act. My friends at AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, will help you save money on things like cell phone plans, travel, and restaurants. But AMAC does much more than offer senior discounts. Your membership will support their nonprofit, AMAC Action, which takes the challenges against our Constitution and a free market straight to Capitol Hill. Joining is easy. Just go to amac.us/starns to start saving today. 2.3 million Americans have already joined AMAC, and you should too. AMAC cares about you and America, so save money and support conservative causes. Go to amac.us/starns. It's only $16 per year, and great news, anyone can join. Go to amac.us/starns. That's amac.us/starns.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. I want to say a very special hello to Vernon from Parkin, Arkansas. Vernon dropped us a note on our Facebook live stream. Says, Todd, I live about 25 miles west-northwest of West Memphis, Arkansas. I listen to you daily while driving a tractor
on KWAM. Well, God bless you, Vernon. We really appreciate that. And we appreciate all of our great listeners across the nation. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Here is Don Jr. And, you know, poor Don Jr., he's catching a lot of heat for what he had to say here, but I want to explain what he was talking about. Cut one.
Donald Trump has the nuclear codes! In the linen closet at Mar-a-Lago! I'm like, really? By the way, for the record, I'd say that if Donald Trump actually still had the nuclear codes, it'd probably be good. Our enemies might actually be like, okay, maybe let's not mess with them. Unlike when they look at Joe Biden and they say, you know what, we should attack now.
Yeah, so first of all, now the mainstream media is all over this story. And I just want to prevent you from sending me emails saying, Todd, didn't you hear the story that Don Trump Jr. actually wanted the nuclear codes at Mar-a-Lago so we could, like, blow up our enemies? Just hold on, cease and desist. Hold on a second. So Don Jr. was giving a speech at a campaign rally for Matt Gaetz, the congressman out of Florida. And he was cracking a joke, but there's a little nugget of truth in there, because he's right. When Donald Trump was in the White House and he had his finger on the button, a lot of our enemies were scared because they didn't know what Donald Trump, the president, was capable of doing. And that's what you want in a president of the United States. I mean, look at where we are in the world standing right now, where other world leaders, whenever we have a get-together, a confab, somebody's like wiping the drool off our president's face, or they're trying to nudge him awake or point him in the right direction, lest he wander off the stage. So that's what Don Trump Jr. was talking about. By the way, Kash Patel, who's a former Trump administration official, says what we ought to be doing here, and we're going to play this audio a little bit after the bottom of the hour break, but I want you to hear this. He says that what we need to be doing is just blow this FBI raid wide open and focus on Barack Obama, because Obama did the exact same thing that Trump did. So if you're going to go after Trump, you got to go after Obama. Otherwise, you're showing your hand here. And what is the hand? Well, the hand is very clear that the Biden administration, and this goes all the way back to Barack Obama's time in office, they've weaponized the federal agencies and they're coming after us. I mean, it's very simple. Look, take, for example, the FBI agents. 87,000 new FBI agents are about to be hired. They're not coming after you. They're not coming after the big dogs. They're coming after you. They're coming after me. They're coming after all of us. They're coming after anybody with a Republican behind their name. That's who they're coming after. There are some training videos, and a lot of people may not know this, but the IRS has its own army, its own military, its own militia, and they are armed to the teeth, and they have powers that you and I do not have. It's interesting, though, because when you look at the training videos of the IRS, they're not training on how to take down the big hedge fund guys. They're not training on how to take down the big business conglomerates. No, they're training to come after small businesses. And one of the training videos in particular actually demonstrated how IRS agents could take down the owner of a small landscaping business who was back a few years on their taxes. So they're coming after us. These people are bullies. They're no better than the state police. We're looking at a modern-day Gestapo that's being created in front of our very eyes. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
My friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life.
He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Mike created the Giza Dream Bed Sheets. They look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep for me, which is crucial for my busy schedule. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable. Mike's Giza sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. The first night you sleep on the Giza sheet, you will never want to sleep on anything else. Giza Dream Sheets come in a variety of sizes and colors. Mike's latest incredible deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you get 50% off the Giza Dream Sheets. You receive a set for as low as $49.99. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use the promo code STARS. You'll find not only this amazing offer, but also deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the MyPillow mattress topper, MyPillow towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-839-8506 or go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARS. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. You know, this Pennsylvania Senate race, and I know it's got my opinion on all of this, has got a lot of folks riled up here, but it seems to me somebody's got to at least remind people who Republicans are, or at least what the party platform says. John Fetterman, who is the Democrat, and I just want you to step back for just a moment. Dr. Oz is losing to a guy who lived with his parents, I guess, in their basement till he was in his 40s, and is recovering from a stroke. Dr. Oz is literally, you know, losing to a stroke patient. I just want to point that out. So anyway, Fetterman, it turns out that this guy spent most of his life living off of his parents. They were literally giving him money up until he was about 49 years old. And the guy, he really does kind of, he sort of exudes this, I don't know, demonic, weird presence. You know what I'm talking about? It's the eyes. It's all in the eyes. And he's wearing the hoodie. It's just, he does look like, and for you old school folks, you're going to know Festus. Was that the Addams Family? I always got the Addams Family and the other show. They had dueling monster shows on. The Addams Family and somebody, and I know somebody will call and remind us about what that is. Grace, that's far beyond your time span, so don't even attempt that. All right, I want to go to the phones here, 844-747-8868, because Paul in Georgia has a question about Dr. Oz. Hi, Paul, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you very much. I'm certainly pro-life. I know Dr. Oz is not. However, if you walk into the voting booth and you see Dr. Oz, a Republican who is for pro-abortion, and you see his opponent, who is not only for pro-abortion, but for everything else that Joe Biden wants, which lever do you pull?
Which one do you pull, Paul?
Oh, I certainly pull the one for Dr. Oz, because 80% of the time he is with the Republicans.
How do you know that?
Well, let's go the other way. What percentage of the time is the Democrat with the Republicans?
Oh, no doubt about that, Paul. I mean, the Democrats are going to vote with the Democrats. That's what they do, and I honor them for that. I mean, they actually campaign and they make promises and they deliver on those promises. I got to respect that. I wish the same could be said of the Republicans.
But which lever do you pull?
Well, I wouldn't pull either one.
So if you don't pull lever for Oz, that's a vote for the Democrat.
No, that's not the way I look at it, Paul. I would argue that Dr. Oz is a Democrat. When you look at his policies regarding critical race theory, when you look at his policies regarding the LGBT and gender issues, when you look at his views on the Second Amendment, those are all policies embraced by the Democrats. So I would say the argument could be made that you actually have two Democrats running for the U.S. Senate right now in Pennsylvania.
Well, I think it's a mistake not to vote. You know, even the Bible says you should support the government and you should be.
Bible says I got to support a baby killer, Paul? Is that what the Bible says?
No. It says that you should be active in the government.
That's right. And the problem here, though, I'm just not, Paul, I see what you're saying. I cannot in good faith vote for anybody who supports the killing of an unborn child. That's the line in my and that's the line in the sand I draw.
Well, clearly, in your eyes, that the Democrat will win that Senate seat, and they'll have one more senator to vote against all of the Republican issues.
That's, you know what, Paul, and that is on the voters of Pennsylvania. That's on Sean Hannity from Fox News, who went out there and actively campaigned in support of Dr. Oz, when in fact you had most conservatives going for the other candidates in that race. I mean, it was an ugly, ugly thing that was happening. This is not some sort of a big surprise that all of a sudden Todd is pro-life. I do not support any pro-abortion candidates, whether they be Democrat or Republican. I just can't do it.
But you can.
I mean, and that is your right, Paul. But to turn around and say, well, that's your fault. You know, you're electing a Democrat. Nope, sure not. That is not the case here. And by the way, Dr. Oz is just a flawed candidate.
Thanks for taking my call.
All right. Thanks, Paul. Am I off base here? So what else are we going to throw out the window here? I mean, if we can't agree, and those are some fundamental party platform issues. The problem I have with all of this is that nobody cares. President Trump came in and said, I'm picking that guy. I don't care if he's a Republican or not. And you're going to support this guy? You know what? The people of Pennsylvania, they saw through that. And there was some very questionable things that were happening in the recount. Very questionable. No, I'm not going to say voter fraud. I'm just saying. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I believe that the life issue has to be the defining issue of what it means to be a Republican. It sure as heck isn't being fiscal responsible, right? I mean, you've got Republicans out there spending our money like drunken Democrats. So if it's not going to be the life issue, what is it going to be? What does it mean to be a Republican? I'd like for somebody to have that conversation. And all you evangelicals out there, you better wake up, because they're very soon going to jettison the whole issue of marriage and the LGBT stuff. That's going away very soon. All I'm saying is that they made a mistake in Pennsylvania, and we can't be making these mistakes nationwide. And that's why you got to get out there and you got to support the right kinds of candidates. Otherwise, you're going to have a party full. You're going to have a Republican Party full of Mitt Romneys. All these people out there saying, if you do not support Dr. Oz, that does not make you a bad Republican. I think it makes you a good Republican. You got to send a message to the Republican Party, and yes, even the MAGA world, that we're just not going to vote for somebody just because they've got some sort of a stamp of approval. Do your homework, ladies and gentlemen. That's what that's all about. Let's go to June in Statesville, North Carolina, WSIC. June, what's on your mind?
Well, hello, Todd. I appreciate you so. But, you know, people are looking at this with this one option, but is there not another option that they aren't considering, and that is the write-in vote for the actual conservative candidate?
Well, and that very well may be. I'm not sure, to be honest with you, June. I'm not that familiar with who else is on the ticket in Pennsylvania. But that is an option. And look, you had two staunchly pro-life candidates that were running on the Republican side. And then you had Dr. Oz. And I think what happened was the pro-lifers split the vote there.
Yeah, I think it's time for the conservatives to get together and bond shoulder to shoulder and get that conservative candidate written in and see if they can't have a victory here.
I'm with you. And June, again, the whole Dr. Oz, there's a lot more to it. And the fact that as soon as he was named the winner, he erased everything about Donald Trump from his website. June, yeah. I was waving red flags all over the place.
Hey, we have a Tom Phillips here in North Carolina just like that, folks. So beware.
So you know.
Beware.
I mean, you know all. Oh, by,
we know. Yeah.
By
yeah,
the way, know. June, you've got, hold on, I've got to pull out this letter. I received a letter, and it was on official thick government-like stationery, and it's a handwritten two-page letter from the majority leader there in the House of Representatives, a guy by the name of Edgar Starnes. Have you heard of this guy?
You know, I'm not as up on things as I should be.
No, no, it's okay.
I've been involved for about a year and a half.
Now, to be honest, I'm not quite sure who the majority leader of the Tennessee House of Representatives, so I'm with you, June. But anyway, we may be related to this guy. I may be related to this guy. Anyway, he's your majority leader. He's a good, rock-solid conservative, and he's a listener of the program, and he actually listens there and wrote us a very kind note. He's also a good Bible-believing Southern Baptist, and we like to hear that as well. So anyway, that reminded me that we got a very kind letter, and thank you, Representative Starnes from the North Carolina House of Representatives. So, June, do not be discouraged, but you're right. We got to get out there, and we got to get conservative candidates on the ballot. Appreciate you calling.
Exactly.
All right, 844-747-8868. Let's go to Waleen on the talk station in North Carolina. All right, what's on your mind?
Well, I want to tell you that I'm fired up. You just said a little while ago, I want you to be fired up. Well, I'm fired up.
Good.
And I want to, first of all, tell you that I'm not in support of Oz because he believes in abortion. And also, this raid on our president's house is ridiculous. And I'm scared for our country.
Waleen, you're right to be scared for the country. And look, I'm hopeful, but, you know, look, from a very practical position here, I think we're all right to be scared. We don't know when we're all going to get the knock on the door. We don't know when the FBI is going to storm in here and try to take us off the air. And you would think that would not happen in America, but that's what Barack Obama did to us when Waleen, he promised to fundamentally change America. That's what he meant by it. And now you've got a population that is actually living in fear of the federal government because they don't serve us. They want us to serve them.
How can they not go with the Constitution? I mean, they don't even pay any attention to it anymore.
It's true.
How did they have the nerve to do that?
Waleen, because we've been silent for so long, and this goes right back to the public schools. We've got a couple of generations of young people that have been radicalized, and they don't even know it. They don't even know it. They have been so stealth in teaching the kids to hate America, to not trust our founding documents. You know, there's a New York Times article. You got a couple of professors, one from Harvard and one from Yale, in the law school, Waleen, and they wrote an op-ed saying that the Constitution is outdated and it needs to be torn up and we need to start all over again. This is coming from the school system, which is why it's so important for moms and dads to engage the culture and get involved in their local schools. Waleen, we got to run here. God bless you, and I'm glad you're fired up. We need more people like Waleen who are fired up. Let's go to Gainesville, Georgia. Will on the line, got a question. Hey, Will, what's your question?
Hey, I just want to say thank you, first of all. But my question is with Georgia. You know, our primary is going to be Herschel Walker, and I want to know how you feel about that because I love Herschel Walker. I think that's awesome, but I'm also scared because a lot of stuff's coming out and all Warnock's ads and all that stuff, and it's getting kind of scary. And on top of that, I think a lot of people in Georgia are really concerned about the governor race because Stacey Abrams, what's stopping her from doing anything sketchy to get into that? You know, when Kemp won, he didn't win by that much. And I think a lot of people down here are worried about that.
Well, look, it's good to be worried, Will. You got to get out and vote. I mean, Herschel Walker's the guy. I mean, and he is pro-life, by the way. But beyond that, I think Herschel will do a good job. Was he my pick in the Republican primaries? No. And honestly, I just wanted to hear the Republicans debate so that we could really put the best person forward. Herschel Walker got the nomination because of his name recognition. That's why he got the nomination. The question is, will he be able to adequately explain all of these accusations that are being levied? That's going to be on Herschel Walker and his campaign team. They've made some adjustments, and those have been good. Let's see how that progresses. And Herschel Walker has agreed to a debate in October with Raphael Warnock, who is the pro-abortion preacher slash communist. As for Brian Kemp and Stacey Abrams, that's going to be – that could be a close race, polling data I saw shows Kemp ahead. But the question is, will President Trump campaign for Brian Kemp? I don't know. There's a lot of bad blood there, Will. But you're right. It's going to take every person voting for the Republicans to win in Georgia.
Well, I just want to say thank you. I want everyone to know there's a lot of young adults who are very fired up as well. It's not a dying art, per se, because there's so many of us. You know, I'm 24 years old, and we are so fired up, and we are trying to voice our opinions by voting. I encourage everyone to go out and vote if you're a young adult. And I have a lot of friends who don't want to go vote. And I think for all those who don't want to vote, if you don't go out and voice your opinion and do your civic duty, then you can't say anything. So get off social media. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's a great point, and I want you to tell your young friends to listen to the show. You've got a national platform here, and it's important for people to know that this is not just the senior saints, but there are people of all age groups. And by the way, Will, that's the phrase to use. Never say old people. Senior saints.
Thank you, sir. Sorry about that.
No. I know. Look, we got your back here, Will. But you tell them to listen in and call in, and we appreciate you being a part of the program today. Thanks, Will. Well, folks, we've got to take a quick break here. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
There's no doubt the nation is facing a financial crisis because of the Biden administration's economic policies. Hi, this is Todd Stearns, and no doubt our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. Now, if all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It's real, physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold, and they can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship the gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Did you know $1 million worth of gold can actually fit inside a shoebox? Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com.
All right, coming up in the next hour, I got to talk to you guys about this Amish farmer. Unbelievable what's happening to the Amish. They're great people doing great work, raising crops, trying to raise their families and follow their religious beliefs, and they're coming under attack by the USDA, and we're going to get into that story in the next hour of the program. This item from the New York Post caught my attention. A woman sparks outrage with a thong bikini at a family-friendly water park. The New York Post says the scantily clad swimmer has been blasted after a viral video and she was wearing what they said was an inappropriate G-string swimsuit at the family-friendly water park. The unidentified woman was seen splashing about in the daring ensemble in footage posted to TikTok. Quote, is this appropriate for a family water park or not? Kim Stram asked. Her video has been viewed more than 4 million times, Grace Baker. The video shows the woman in the nude-colored swimsuit, which is completely backless, leaving her buttocks on full display.
Oof. That sounds a little overboard.
I'd be concerned. I've seen the video, and I've seen the photographs. I would be concerned about, I don't know, sunburning of the buttocks.
Oh, that'd leave some weird tan lines.
It'd be uncomfortable. I love how the Post framed this. Several small children are seen playing near the flesh-flashing beauty.
Oh.
But appear unbothered by the sight of her skin. No, they're all gawking. They're
okay.
Kids.
Yeah, I'm looking at the image here. She's not wearing much, is she?
Now, people are saying, a lot of people are defending the woman. And someone said, if a man wore a skin-tight Speedo, that's just inappropriate. That's inappropriate. Nobody needs to be wearing a Speedo.
No, I agree. Unless you're doing it as a professional swimmer, just wear some trunks, please.
One person said, shame on the woman who filmed this. It's disrespectful.
Are we sure it's a woman that filmed
it? Oh, yeah. That's, yeah. I think so. Otherwise, you know, there could be a crime report about a dead boyfriend or husband.
Oof.
I'm just saying. But another person said, who saw the video, said, "Hey, look, if you got the body, rock it."
I mean, she looks good, but save that for the photo shoot, lady. Put on some clothes. You're at a water park.
Thank you, Grace Baker, our official woman on the Todd Stearns, our woman reporter on the Todd Stearns radio show. Hey, stick around, folks. Hour two and the Amish coming up.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so I am torn here, everybody. So maybe we could get some help from our vast listening audience across the fruited plain, border to border, coast to coast. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. And a special, you know, again, I always enjoy it when we do get calls from the younger listeners because, that, I mean, this is next generation talk radio here, and we think that's a great thing. But I need some help. I know a lot of good and decent people who live in trailer parks, and that's why I don't like using the term trailer park trash, right? But because there, can we just say trash or, I don't know, white trash? Grace, I'm perplexed. I don't know how to frame the conversation here.
Don't look at me.
But, you know, it's kind of like the honey, was it the honey boo-boo? Was
honey boo-boo.
Honey boo-boo crowd.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
The people on the reality TV shows.
Yes.
Like the hoarders and that
the
crowd.
The extremist of everything.
Mm-hmm. So I've noticed something, and I was at church last Sunday, and I noticed this. I went to a wedding and I noticed this, and I went to our party and I noticed this. Now, for the Todd Stearns Show and KWAM, the radio station I own here in Memphis, Tennessee, we had a big anniversary bash. And I mean, everybody was dressed to the nines. I mean, they had the suits on, the ladies had the dresses,
yes.
Everybody was looking pretty good. Went to a wedding. Everybody is decked out in their finest.
Yep.
Go to church, looks like people, like, literally crawled into the sanctuary from whatever nightclub they were at on Saturday night.
Dang.
Wearing pajama pants, you know, the what are they, you used to call them the wife beater t-shirts, you know what I'm talking, you're not
tank
allowed to say
tops?
That. Thank you, tank tops.
I know people would still say
you know
that.
What I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking
it
about.
It looks like the bad end of a country music song. That's what the congregation looks like.
Dang.
And I'm sitting here going, what? It used to be that you would wear your Sunday best, right? That was the phrase. You got to wear your Sunday going
best.
To church clothes.
See, my church still dresses up a lot.
Yeah, not the one
so
I go
I'm
to.
So I'm like, what?
So I'm just...
I have been to churches like that, though. The ones that have, like, the rock concerts. Those ones especially. People come in with, like, the torn jeans, which I own those kind of jeans, but I don't wear them to church.
I think it's intentional. I mean, and the church staff is dressed very appropriately, but I know what you're talking about. I've been to some of these churches where, you know, the preacher gets up and he's wearing like cargo shorts and he's wearing the flip-flops.
Whoa.
And he's got a, you know,
I don't know about that extreme.
The t-shirt, unshaven, and they want to be hip
shower.
Because, you know, the only way you can talk about God these days, you're the young, you got to relate to the young people.
The water with the wine.
I'm not sure that works.
Yeah.
By the way, I went to a church, they had the Lord's Supper once, and it was like Krispy Kreme donuts.
Wait, no.
Yeah, and like Mountain Dew.
No.
And I'm like, what is going on here? It was the craziest thing.
I
want
to know what church you went to off air for that one.
Yeah, it was a non-denominational church.
There it is. So a Baptist church with a cool website. Got it.
Oh, wow. That's brutal.
I got that from Tim Hawkins.
But that is a very good description of
that
a church these days.
That has stuck with me for years.
I just find, I found that the cooler you try to be is you become more uncool.
That's true. I think with the dressing up thing, it's not like you have to wear like a suit every weekend. But whatever your best is, right? Because some people don't have that. They don't wear that.
You know. But even if you don't have it, you come to church and your shirt is ironed, you know, and your pants are ironed, you know, your mom made sure that you were looking, you're presentable, and you did that, I guess, to honor God. But nowadays, it's like, well, Jesus isn't interested in your appearance. Yeah, well, you know what? Jesus doesn't have to sit next to you, and you smell like a furnace.
I mean, come on. Say the smell. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, unbathed, unkempt. Okay.
I did used to go to a church where some of the teenagers would come to youth group wearing hoodies, and I was like, wait a minute.
And smelling like marijuana.
I don't care. Whoa.
I mean, well, I do care if you're...
Whoa, but, I didn't go that far.
But I'm trying to segue into the story here. And all that to say, and again, it's just like here in the Memphis area, there is a major raging debate about restaurants that are mandating that you dress a certain way. Right? So, and one of them is a restaurant near my home, and it's very popular, and they're under fire because they're telling people you can't dress like you're standing on a sidewalk corner, you know, wanting to turn a trick, you know, that you have to come here and you have to be appropriate with your dress.
That's true. And I don't think that's an unreasonable request, but people are like,
people are enraged. How dare you?
How dare you?
How dare you? It's true. But, I mean, do you really want, and the same goes for guys, do you want some guy, I mean, you're taking the wife out for an anniversary dinner at a very nice restaurant, and, you know, you've got some guy in sweatpants with a T-shirt that doesn't cover his beer gut, and his wife is, dressed like a, you know,
don't
sidewalk Sally. No, I'm not going to say it, but because we've all been there. So here's what gets me. If you were to show up at the wedding dressed like that, you know what would break loose?
People maybe wouldn't say something to you directly, but there'd be whispered circles.
No. I don't know about in the South.
Oh, okay.
No, you'd have the mother of the bride coming down the aisle saying, how dare you? How dare you dress like that at my daughter's wedding?
How dare you?
I'm just saying.
It's serious business.
People, by the way, our good friend Paul Shanklin says, Todd, we call it a contemporary service. I say their contemporaries are unserious worshipers.
Gosh.
Come as you are can only go so far.
Oh, dang. Y'all are shooting shots today.
No shoes, no
service.
Shirts, no eternal life.
Oh,
I don't know.
Whoa.
I'm just saying.
Whoa.
But again, I don't think it's about the dress, but the contemporary cool hip side of church now is making it about that.
Well, it's the attitude, right? It's all like, if you come into church rolling out of bed, you're probably not going to really be ready.
But it's really not about church. This goes back. I thought about church as I was thinking about the woman in the thong bikini in the last segment. Where is it appropriate for a grown woman with a badonkadonk? And it's a fairly large and sizable badonkadonk to go out and to jump into a swimming pool filled with children, and she's only wearing a G-string. What if that was a baptistry?
Oh, no.
And I can only imagine what the baptisms look like in contemporary churches.
Oh, no.
This is Brother Sal. He's wearing a Speedo.
Oh, no. See, back in the day when I went to youth group and we went on trips, the guys had to, I don't know if they still do this, but the guys could wear swim trunks, but they had to wear a T-shirt. Girls had to wear a tankini or a one piece. But some of those one pieces that they've come out with now are way more scandalous than the two pieces. But anyway, you had to wear a one piece, and then if you didn't have that, you had to wear a T-shirt over your swimsuit. It was a whole thing.
Are we a nation of slobs? Maybe that's what I'm trying to get at. I mean, it's just, and the reason I ask that, there is a huge story that's being covered by Fox 13. The Fox News station here in Memphis is far left. These people, and it's, I hate to say it, Lord love them, but they're leftist. They got rid of their anchor, their white weather guy, because he said something about an NBA basketball player.
Draymond Green. No one likes him.
It was a jerk face. Yeah. And pretty much he called him a jerk, called him a Neanderthal. Oh, that's racist. How dare you? And they fired the guy. It's very sad. So anyway, they're going after my favorite restaurant, Houston's. I love that restaurant.
They have really good fries.
Houston's. Here's the story from Fox 13. A police officer and high school principal are accusing a Memphis restaurant of racial profiling. So here's the deal. Grace, when I went back to New York City a couple of months back for the Talkers Convention, walked out on the street of New York City, and this was back when I was there, it was illegal to smoke marijuana, but now they literally have cannabis trucks. Like, we have food trucks down here.
Oh, yeah.
They literally have cannabis trucks where you can just walk up and buy your marijuana. The whole city smells like reefer. It was.
Yeah.
I know you've never seen Cheech and Chong because you're a good Christian church-going woman.
Who, I do know what it is, but you know it.
So there's
it.
A scene where the van is filled with smoke. That's like the entire city of New York right now.
Oh.
So and that just it's disgusts gross. Me. I'm okay with cigar smoke, but marijuana smoke. Jeez, hello.
Well, it just gets on everything, but I feel the same thing about cigarettes. It just gets on everything. So if you're nearby, it just like soaks into your clothes, and then you walk in somewhere and you're like, whoa.
So here's the deal. So Houston's has a policy. If you smell, they politely ask you to leave.
Yes.
And I'm going to read the first paragraph, and you can understand their Fox 13 is in attack mode. Humiliated, shocked, and denied all emotions, a police officer said he felt when he and his family were asked to leave a Memphis restaurant over the weekend because his party allegedly smelled like marijuana.
Oh.
So it turns out the couple, one of them's a cop and the other's a high school principal.
Which I have questions, but continue.
All right. So anyway, the manager said that, hey, look, people are complaining. They say you guys smell of marijuana, and we need you to leave. Because if you're in a restaurant and you smell like, you know, marijuana, that's disturbing to the other diners, right?
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, the couple is black, and they have immediately made it about race and not odor. And they're accusing Houston's of racism and racial profiling. No, this is not racial profiling. This is nasal profiling. We smell you.
This is true.
Anything that smells bad, we're going to deal with here. So anyway, the guy says, well, look, the manager comes over and says, look, there's a strong odor of marijuana coming from your party. And the guy says, ma'am, we don't smoke marijuana. You're mistaken. So it turned, long story short, I guess it turns out maybe they were mistaken.
Oh, no.
But I don't know. It's hard to kind of read through the story because they are clearly writing with a bias here. But regardless, Houston says, look, we want to make this right. We're going to, you know, dinner is on us. And, you know, the couple here, if in fact they're not the ones who smelled like marijuana, are right to be, like, angry and upset.
Sure, ruin their date night.
But what is the first thing they go to? Racism.
Always.
It's racism. And I will tell you, as a matter of fact, because I eat at Houston's maybe two or three times a week, because it's a great restaurant close to our bunker here, and I will tell you that most of the wait staff is black. So I'm trying to understand how this is a race issue instead of a nasal issue.
That's a good point. I mean, if they were violating the policy, but again, if they were mistaken, I understand the couple being very upset. But
the cop immediately said, why did you just racially profile us? You see, that's what kills me about this city. Memphis is a racist town, but it's a reverse form of racism. And it's hard for people to understand that until you have lived it. And a lot of white folks don't want to talk about that here because it's very uncomfortable and they don't want to get in trouble. Because if you talk about these kinds of things in public, well, that, you know, they put a target on you. But you know what? I don't care. The facts are the facts. Grace, don't comment on that.
Will do.
Anyway, Fox 13 said they went to Houston's to get answers.
Oh, no. I know. The copy on this story is something else.
After asking, and here's the thing, after asking to speak to a manager, the TV crew was kicked off the property by security. You know what? Good for you, Houston's. Throw them right out the front door. You know what I'm doing, Grace Baker? After the show, I'm going to Houston's, and I'm gonna order something, and we're gonna leave a honking big tip for those people.
There you go.
And I want to personally shake the hands of the folks that threw the TV crew out of the building. And shame on you, police officer. Shame on you, principal. You know that this has nothing to do with race. Shame on you. And by the way, Houston's, I mean, really, come on now. What you need to do next time is just go up and just get, you know, go right up to the collar and just lean over and do. How hard is that? Right? I know it's kind of weird, Grace.
Very weird.
But it's a lot better than having Fox 13 coming after you.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just, all that to say, what's wrong with people these days? I mean, why do we have no decorum in America anymore?
This is true. And just the other day we were talking about, I mean, they're making pizza without the crust. Just the whole world's going to heck.
Godless heathen bastards.
I'm telling you.
844-747-8868. That's our toll-free number. Put on some pants, America. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Want to welcome all of our listeners in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, Greensboro, North Carolina, WSJS, great radio station. The local newspaper, apparently they've got a reporter now there in Winston-Salem assigned to listen to this radio program. And the guy's already written one nasty little hit piece. But all I can say is welcome. Glad to have you as a listener there in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. There is a weird story involving Amish farmers. And one in particular is facing the wrath of the federal government. The guy's name is Amos Miller. He's owned a farm, Miller's Organic Farm, in Pennsylvania. And he does stuff the old-fashioned way, this guy. So Farmer Miller doesn't own or doesn't use electricity, doesn't use fertilizer or gasoline, and he also stays away from modern preservatives. So he's probably going to live to be like 150. The farm has a private buyers club of about 4,000 members. He has sold all sorts of food like organic eggs, raw milk, grass-fed beef, cheese, fresh produce. And Mr. Miller says that they use it as medicine because it's very healing to the body because of its raw nature, raw state. Customers say the place is clean, produce is excellent, got no problems, but now the USDA is getting involved, the Department of Agriculture, and they're accusing the farmer of failing to comply with federal farming regulations. And a federal judge has ordered the farmer to cease and desist all meat sales, and he's authorized armed U.S. marshals to use whatever force is necessary to gain access to Miller's farm for inspections. And now they've been doing this like every couple of months. I mean, folks, we're talking about the Amish here. These people live a very traditional lifestyle. And since when do we need the USDA to step in and regulate Amish farmers, for crying out loud? And it really does make you wonder who the civilized people are here. Because the government's position is, well, we don't have any control over what this farmer is doing. And the farmer says, hey, look, we're just trying to live quietly. We're trying to mind our own business, and we're working the land with our hands. And he says they're following the teachings of the Bible in doing that. So very strange. But now the Biden administration declaring war on Amish farmers. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Program. Hope you're doing great today. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number in our beautiful Liberty University studios. I want to go to those studios right now. Our good friend Ryan Helfenbein from the Standing for Freedom Center. Ryan, hope you're doing good.
I'm doing great, Todd, this wonderful, lovely afternoon in Virginia. It's beautiful weather outside.
Oh, nice to hear that. And I know the students back at Liberty University and raising up some great patriots there, Champions for Christ, which is the motto of Liberty University.
That's exactly right. Training Champions for Christ. And as a matter of fact, this is our second largest on record incoming student body. Last year was our largest, and we have the largest residential population at any given time. So it's we are on the up and up and up.
And that's a good thing for the country because you guys at Liberty are just doing an incredible job. I mean, we've enjoyed a long partnership with Liberty. And one of the reasons that we really respect what's happening there is that you are educating the next generation of American patriots.
Yeah, we really are. And I'm going to give credit to Dr. Jerry Prevost, who is basically recasting the vision of Dr. Falwell. You know, biblically based, we stand unapologetically on the Word of God, and we're not afraid to go right on the cutting edge of cultural frontline issues and training that next generation against, I would say, you know, all the machinations of the woke left, but doing so with the Word of God, something that doesn't change regardless of where the culture might rest. We're standing firm.
StandingForFreedom.com is the website, ladies and gentlemen. You know, Ryan, a few days ago, a couple of Ivy League professors wrote a New York Times essay. They say the Constitution is broken and should not be reclaimed. Are you surprised that that sort of argument is out there in the public realm?
No, I'm not at all, because the Constitution is what stands in the way of them basically reshaping our entire country and claiming Western civilization. You know, the Constitution, along with the family, along with the church, along with these other traditional institutions, it stands as a document. It's not perfect as the Bible is, but it stands as a document that protects our sacred rights. And one of those is, you know, the freedom of speech, freedom of conscience, you know, religious liberty, all of those things. In order to change fundamentally this country, they have to get rid of the Constitution. That's why they hate it so desperately.
And again, looking long term here, that's the goal. I mean, Barack Obama announced back when he was running for the White House for the very first time in 2007, he wanted to fundamentally transform America. And a lot of people, I don't think they really understood, Ryan, what Obama was talking about at the time.
Yeah, you know, if people were paying close attention, and few were, they heard the sound clips of Jeremiah Wright, right, United Church of Christ there in Chicago. Liberation theology was what undergirded a lot of his thinking on these issues. It's a radical Marxian sort of Marxist with Christianity, pulled those together. And today, part of the radical left is critical race theory and critical theory. It's all about deconstruction and deconversion and dismantling our sacred institutions. That's exactly what was happening. That project started long ago, decades ago. And certainly, you know, you had ideologues like Barack Obama who were pushing that agenda.
Ryan Helfenbein from the Standing for Freedom Center at Liberty University joins us. Ryan, a lot of news about this FBI raid at Mar-a-Lago. JustTheNews.com is now reporting that, contrary to early reports, the Biden administration not only knew about the raid, but may have, in fact, instigated. Any surprise there?
No, because it's right underneath the Department of Justice. It you know, when you think about the history of the FBI, and again, I'm not trying to undermine our institutions, but when you think about the history going all the way back to John F. Kennedy and Woodrow Wilson, there have been moments where it has been used as a political actor and not enforcing equal protection under the law.
It's absolutely insane. And when you look back at the history of the FBI and Donald Trump, from day one, they've declared war on him. And time again, every accusation they've made against the president, and then even as a candidate, did not stand up at the end of the day, leading a lot of people to suggest that this is all political in nature.
Yes. I mean, 90 days within the midterms, you know, what are we left to think other than it was for political purposes and political gain? And I'll just add, too, they had videos released as early as spring of 2021 that was projecting a whole woke agenda at the FBI in terms of their intersectional qualifications for recruiting new agents. So there you go.
All right. Ryan, what are you guys working on at the Standing for Freedom Center?
Well, we've got a big national conference coming up in November and something that we're looking forward to. And we're also, again, training up and recruiting a new generation of those happy warriors who will defend biblical truth in every avenue of life, whatever profession they're going into. And I just remind your listeners at Liberty University, we have over 700 degree programs and over 130,000 students. Now is a great time to investigate and to look into opportunities to continue your education, whether it be for adults, for young students. We have Liberty Online Academy, Todd, with over 10,000 students. That's K through 12 throughout the country. And that's not just homeschooling. That's basically a classroom from your living room where a teacher is assigned to your student.
That's fantastic. Look, great opportunities no matter your age, where you're at in the education process. And that's one of the great things we love about Liberty University. And you're getting a quality education, the best in the nation at Liberty University.
That is absolutely right.
All right, Ryan, we're going to leave it there. Always good hearing from you. And I know you're going to get in line for that Chick-fil-A. There's always a line at the Chick-fil-A at Liberty.
There is, and I just had some.
Oh, you beat the crowns then. Well, good for you. All right, Ryan, God bless.
God bless you, Todd.
Ryan Helfenbein from Liberty University and our studios there. Folks, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868, going right to the phones. May I tell you about some incredible opportunities for you at MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Our good friend Mike Lindell, you know they kicked this guy out of all the big box stores? They hate him so much that they did not want anyone to buy any of his products. The big box stores would have rather Mike Lindell declared bankruptcy and laid off many of his American workers. That's pretty pathetic. But the good news is Mike is doing great. And why is he doing great? Because of our audience and many other conservatives around the nation, you guys have risen up and you have become big-time MyPillow fans. And Mike has some great, great opportunities and sales for you at MyPillow.com/Starnes. Get this, brand-new all-season My Slippers. You're going to save $90. Normally, it's $140. You're going to be able to get these incredible slippers for $49.98. Also, the MyPillow pillows, $19.88. I mean, that's a huge deal right there. You're also going to be able to get great discounts on beach blankets, beach towels, and the incredible roll and go anywhere MyPillows, just $19.99. But you got to use my promo code if you do. Starnes is the promo code, MyPillow.com/Starnes. I'm just saying, all you people in Memphis, Tennessee, you should go to Houston's restaurant and show them a little bit of love. I don't like it when the race mob comes after people, these professional race agitators. Are we surprised? Are we surprised that the people making the accusations actually get a paycheck from us, the taxpayers? I mean, are we really all that surprised? So anyway, after the show, I'm heading over to Houston's. Hope to see you over there. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. Let's go to the phones. Mark from Florida, the Villages, America's friendliest hometown. Mark, what's up?
Hey, Todd. How are you today?
I wanted to
make two quick points. You have the good Republicans and you have the bad Republicans. But when you mix the bad Republicans in with the bad Democrats, that's when you have problems. My second point is, Todd, the Democrats want borders open because it helps them getting votes as well as drugs into this country, I personally feel. The drug money is what's powering the Democrats' machine. Proving it is another thing. That is why they hate Trump so much. He was stopping it. The correction goes to the top, Todd, plain and simple. And if you do catch them, who's going to stop them? But I'm telling you right now, because I've talked to many people, and I know people, and when they turn around, these drugs are what's driving these people. This is what's doing it, and it's the corruption, and it's going all the way to the top, and you can't stop them.
Well, again, go all the way back to Fast and Furious, Mark, with Eric Holder. I mean, they were actually, our federal government was arming the drug cartels.
Yep, and I still think that they're doing that, and I think that's what's pushing this, and I think that's what's keeping them in. Everything, you know, you just look at it. I mean, why else would you want to keep the borders open? You know what I'm saying? Think about it. It's common sense. I mean, there's no other reason to keep them open other than the two that I just gave you. The thing is, catching them. That was my point for today.
And that's the challenge. I mean, these people are, they're slick. They've been doing it for decades. And look, go back to when Trump got elected. We had the control of the House and the Senate. Nothing got done. Nothing at all. Mark, got to run. Appreciate the call. Got to tell you this story. From Utah, William Penn Elementary School. Teacher there is building her classroom into it's a space for non-white kids. Take a listen.
So for the first time in my life, I'm going to be teaching at a majority white school. And I'm kind of interested to see how students and parents react to my classroom, or if they even notice anything about it. Because it's built for non-white students. And what I mean by that is, like, if you look around and you interact with some of the materials I have, you'll notice that there's, like, no white kids represented in that. So just on, like, that very first level of multicultural education. And I don't think, like, my new students will mind, but, you know, not a single white face there. Same with my coloring pages. I have a big stack of coloring pages that students can use, and not a single one with a person on it depicts a white person or character. Because I just kept looking for pages for them that they'd relate to. And then the only Disney princesses I have are Mulan and Moana, because they're some of my favorites, and coincidentally, they are not white. Then another thing is my classroom library. Of course, literature is kind of dominated by straight, cis, white men, so there is a good deal of that in my books, but it is overpowered now from all the books that I've been purchasing to add on to my library that depict a lot of diverse peoples. Whether that's people of color, or I have, like, books on non-binary, trans, otherwise LGBTQ characters. So there's just not a lot of adherence to the status quo on just that, like, base level of my classroom. So I'm kind of wondering if I feel like some parents might have something to say about that. If my experience with posh white parents in the past holds true for this year. We'll see.
Okay. I have a couple of questions here. First of all, I'm not sure there are that many posh white people in Utah. I'm just saying. It's a working class state, for crying out loud. But here are the questions I have. Now, Grace, she says that she's doing this because for the first time in her teaching career, she's working at an all-white school, and so she wants to make all the white children feel uncomfortable. Now, here's my question. Question number one of many. So when she worked at the all-black school, did she turn her all-black classroom into a white space?
I highly doubt that. I would bet money on it that she did not.
Side note, by the way, there's a story out there. I don't know if you've seen this, but the whiteboards, those are now racist.
I was just thinking that. Something about organizational culture.
And yeah, so whiteboards are now racist. But here's my concern. What about the blackboards? Do they want us to go back to the blackboards? And at face value, you would say, well, of course, Todd, given the choice between a whiteboard and a blackboard, you got to go with the blackboard, or you're a racist.
Oh, but the chalk.
But it's the chalk, the Grace Baker. No, 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 no. It's the idea of using the white chalk.
Oh, no.
So you're the white chalk you're writing on
over.
The blackboard. So therefore, you're denying that blackboard experience.
I just hate the noise. I can't deal with the...
You know what I... The noise I'm worried about is the noise coming out of the that gal's blowhole there.
That too. I'm a little concerned about that one.
So... So then, I also, Band-Aids. So does she not have the flesh-colored Band-Aids? Do we have, like, ethnic Band-Aids?
Side note, those Band-Aids don't exactly match my skin tone either. They're, like, orangey.
Really? They match mine.
Oh.
Well, but you're a woman, you know.
The Band-Aids are complain.
The Band-Aids are clearly made for cisgendered white guys.
What about the clear Band-Aids? Those exist.
I don't know. That's newfangled.
Newfangled. Fancy. Those cost a little extra.
So anyway, she said she was wondering that parents might be concerned. She was right. Apparently, moms and dads did complain, and now the school is investigating, and she has removed this video from her TikTok.
Can I just say, these people are idiots because they're posting these on TikTok, like, look what I'm doing here and here and here, and then it goes viral and everybody knows about it.
Because they believe, and they're all your age, by the way, Grace.
Yeah,
we're talking about young. I mean, these are
not
school
the brightest
teachers.
Generation.
No. That's not it. I mean, they feel empowered, and they feel like they're on some sort of a righteous cause, and that's what leads me to believe there's a heck of a lot more of this going on in public schools than even we know about.
Unfortunately,
unbelievable. I wonder if she plays, what kind of music she plays. Is it strictly R&B?
Stuff made by minority artists.
You know that's the case. I mean, what kind of a message is she trying? Is she trying to shame the children? I don't understand the whole point of this.
Very awkward.
Well, once again, we have this is a classic example of a public school classroom that has been radicalized. This is about propaganda. This is not about learning. This is about propaganda, brainwashing.
Yes, agreed.
If you're a white kid, you're the problem. That's what she's trying to say. But again, I would love to have that. They don't identify the teacher. I would have invited her on the program.
Oh, she would have been quite a guest.
Yeah, we would. Would we have decorated her? Would we have made her feel comfortable?
Oh.
By the way, she's a white chick.
Yeah.
Anybody
notice that?
Quite frankly, shame on her. What she should have done to make her space feel more comfortable is to remove herself from the classroom. Put a teacher of color in her place.
Exactly. Give up her spot.
But they never want to do that.
Nah, they're not going to give up the power.
You're supposed
money.
To teach reading and writing, how to add and subtract. But what we're looking at is long-form division. And that's going to happen if we don't get a handle on all of this. All right, got to take a break here, ladies and gentlemen. 844-747-8868. Is this going on in your kid's classroom? This is the Todd Stern Show.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's it.
Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Hope you are doing well today. We're going to be getting to your calls in just a few moments, so hang tight. A little bit later on today, in this hour of the program, a bizarre story out of Austin, Texas, where the chaplain for the fire department got the heave-ho because they found out that he doesn't believe that men should play in women's sports. We're going to be talking to that chaplain along with his attorneys in just a little while. Again, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. Our website, toddstarnes.com, and there's lots of great information for you to check out there. I'm very excited to welcome a guest and a friend of this program based right here in the Memphis area, and he is running for the state Senate. And the reason I wanted to bring him onto the program, they have come up with an incredible blueprint for how to fight back against these George Soros-style district attorneys. Brent Taylor is running for the state Senate as a Republican. Brent, good to have you with us today.
Thank you, Ty. Glad to be here.
And you're coming under fire from local media because of a letter you sent out. And I want you to tell folks what was in the contents of that letter.
Well, basically, it was a fundraising letter that went out following the election of Steve Mulroy, who is Soros-backed district attorney candidate, now soon to be district attorney. And I sent out this fundraising letter essentially saying that I needed to be elected to the state Senate because I'll be the only Republican state senator from Shelby County, and we will be able to use our Tennessee state laws to hold this district attorney accountable for not doing his job or doing his job, depending on how you look at it.
Because this district attorney is most of his and he won the election. The Democrat won the election. Most of his funding came from out of the state of Tennessee. A lot of big Hollywood money coming into the campaign as well.
And a lot of New York money came into the campaign as well. And so where this progressive criminal justice reform district attorney candidates, they have been elected in other cities, and it has not worked, Todd. I mean, you look at San Francisco, Los Angeles, Philadelphia, Chicago, St. Louis. This progressive justice reform-minded district attorneys have not succeeded in the markets or in the cities where they've been elected. And actually, had been recalled. Chesa Boudin in San Francisco was actually recalled.
And one of the first, you know, going back to Rudy Giuliani, back when he was a prosecutor, before he became mayor, one of the things that they did was they cracked down on crime, even the small crimes, those nuisance crimes, as they called them. And what happened after he became mayor, they literally cleaned everything up because, you know, when you started taking care of those issues, the other issues took care of themselves. But now we've got lawlessness. I mean, in places, and you just mentioned San Francisco, Los Angeles, where there was a questionable recall issue there. Even in New York City now, where people are afraid to walk out of the streets, and in Memphis, Tennessee, the exact same problem is about to happen.
It is, and you mentioned Mayor Giuliani in New York. The reason he was successful in reducing crime so much in New York City were several things. One, he subscribed to the broken windows theory, that you tended to the small things. He prosecuted even the squeegee man that would run out at an intersection at a red light and wash your window and then would hound you to be paid. He prosecuted that with the idea being if you prosecute the small things, the larger crimes will take care of themselves. And New York has gotten away from that. Other communities have gotten away from it. And we need to subscribe to it as here in Memphis as
now,
well.
You're a businessman, a very successful businessman. And one of the things I appreciate as a small businessman myself is that you're looking out for the business community here. And to give you our listeners around the nation an example, we're dealing with a rash of car break-ins. And you had dozens of cars that were broken into at the Convention Center Hotel in downtown. That's going to impact the convention business if that kind of stuff continues and we're not addressing those issues.
It will. And for your listeners who may not be familiar, but Ford is making the largest private investment in state of Tennessee history.
Blue Oval City
is only 17 miles from our home county. And we have a tremendous opportunity to take advantage of that with as many as 50,000 new rooftops coming in the next 10 years. But they will not be coming to Memphis if we do not get a handle on this crime issue. And crime and economic development are linked because if you have high crime, you will not have the kind of economic development we would need here. Businesses that are continually vandalized, their customers' vehicles are broken into, the smash and grabs, that type of activity will drive business away from any community, including Memphis.
So, I mean, you're kind of in that retirement zone. You have every right to go and move and get yourself a beach house somewhere or move to the mountains or the lakefront, but you've decided to stay and fight. And I'm kind of curious to know why that is.
Well, you know, I'm originally from Mississippi, and I moved to Memphis literally with everything I owned in my pickup truck. Now, I grew up in a middle-class family, so it's not like a Horatio Alger up from
by the bootstraps, right?
By the bootstraps, yeah. So, but I came to Memphis, and Memphis and Shelby County have given me everything that I have. It's given me my wife, given me my children, given me my professional career, it's given me a political career. I love Memphis. I love the Mid-South, and I would not dare live anywhere else. I know it's got its problems. I believe I have something to offer with both my local government experience and also my business experience. I think I have something to offer to ensure that Memphis will prosper. I have a reputation that trusted conservative leadership that I believe Memphis needs.
And I can see that. And you know, I'm a big supporter of what you're doing. I was reading this letter that has sparked this. They say it sparked controversy. I didn't see anything controversial in that letter.
It's controversial only if you're a Democrat.
Oh, of course. I see. Well, that explains why the local TV station was. You know, they're not big fans of Republicans.
That's correct.
I just want to make sure you're aware of that.
I'm aware of that.
They're not very nice. But again, I mean, when you look at what's been happening in these other cities, and it's happening also in medium-sized towns as well, but in Tennessee, the state legislature came up with a way to deal with this kind of a situation in the event you've got a prosecutor who's not going after the criminals.
That's correct. And I had mentioned that in this fundraising letter, I had asked people to really take a good look at my race because I would be the only senator from Shelby County as a Republican that could hold a Democrat accountable as a district attorney. And here's why, Todd. A few years back, the General Assembly here in Tennessee passed a law and the governor signed it. Basically says that if a local DA refuses to prosecute certain offenses, then the state attorney general can appoint a special prosecutor with limited jurisdiction that would prosecute just those offenses. And our local DA here, who was just elected, and by the way, he won a hard-fought campaign. We all wish him well. We as a community need him to succeed, but we need him to do his job to do that. But some of the offenses that he has said are low priority, which means he won't prosecute, are prostitution. And I will tell you, people will say prostitution is a victimless crime, but tell that to the young ladies who are actually being sex traffic and sex slavery into the United States to be prostituted out. You know, that is a crime that needs to be prosecuted here locally. Also, the possession of drugs besides marijuana, he has said he won't prosecute. And I will tell you, as a funeral director, I have sat and met with many, many families making funeral arrangements who have children that have died from fentanyl overdose. And to say you're not going to prosecute drug offenses just opens the floodgates for more drugs to come into our community that are laced with fentanyl and will continue to really just wipe out a generation.
Not to mention the fact that he wants to address bail reform laws, and that's been the big problem in New York City, where you could beat somebody over the head with a baseball bat and you're out on the street in a matter of, you know, hours. And that's a big concern.
It is. I recently had a friend of mine in Nashville that told me the police officer had arrested someone, took them to the jail. By the time they processed that inmate and the police officer finished his paperwork, he was leaving the police station. The person he had just arrested had already gotten out of jail and had gone to commit another crime, and he arrested the same person the same night two different times.
It's insane. I was looking on the KWAM website, our news talk station in Memphis, our flagship station, and there was a guy had a rap sheet, 13, 14 criminal convictions. He was arrested for stealing a car, and he was allowed to post bail, and he's back out on the street again. And again, this is a big problem in every major American city in this nation right now.
It is. And again, when you don't prosecute the small things, and I say small, you know, if you're a store owner and you've been your people have been shoplifting from your shop, it's not a small thing. But unless you prosecute those small things, that the criminals will think that they have a license to go and commit larger crimes.
And the point of this, Brent, and by the way, Brent Taylor running for the state senate here in the state of Tennessee. The point of this conversation is to let people know all over America that those state legislatures matter. It's important, the work you guys are going to be doing. And we know that the Supreme Court just sent Roe v. Wade. You know, that's off the books now. It is a state decision. So who you send to your state capital matters now more than any other time.
It is, and I have a long history of the pro-life movement. Matter of fact, my very first vote on the county commission here in Shelby County was to defund Planned Parenthood. Hmm. And believe it or not, Steve Mulroy was on the county commission with me, and to his credit, he voted to defund Planned Parenthood. That's something he failed to mention in his campaign.
Wow. What happened there?
He is a Catholic, and I believe for religious reasons he had voted to defund Planned Parenthood. But he later wrote a mea culpa in one of the newspapers saying that he had regretted that vote.
Mm. All right. Well, Brent, best of luck to you. Where can people go if they want to get information about you and your campaign?
Sure. If your listeners would like to know more about what's going on in Tennessee with these really innovative laws to hold district attorneys accountable, please visit my website, BrentTaylorForSenate.com, and where you can contribute, you can volunteer. And if you just want to learn more about Tennessee and the really innovative laws we have here, please visit BrentTaylorForSenate.com.
Love it. And what a great idea. And folks can learn, you guys can learn from what was happening here in Tennessee. I think we're all going to have to revisit that on a state-by-state basis. Brent, congratulations. Good luck to you.
Thank you, Todd. I appreciate it.
All right. Brent Taylor, everybody, and running. And again, we've got also have a link to his website there on our live show blog, and you can access it there as well. Got to take a quick break here. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, if you have not done so, you need to head over to the ToddSterns.com store, and we have some really nice stuff for you to purchase. I know some of you love to shop well in advance of Christmas and the holidays. Now is a great chance for you to get a copy of one of my books. One of the most popular books now is Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. Everybody's loving that book, and I would love to be able to sign one, personalize it for you or a family member, and we can do all of that over at ToddSterns.com. That's ToddSterns.com, and click on the store link. Let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Jeff in Georgia. Jeff, what's on your mind today?
Well, sir, I was hearing you talk about the teacher that was excluding white children from everything in there. I mean, I think that's horrible. I mean, the children would be the ones to pay. I had little kids in school, you know, for many years. They're grown now. But I've got to where I'll just stand up and I'll confront stuff that's not right like that. And if people won't stand up and confront the wrong, I mean, if the teacher got fired for it or something like that, that's good. Get rid of her. She don't need to be in there anyway. But so many people, they have such a heart that they don't want to hurt anybody or cause any kind of thing. But we can't be like that. You can't change things in the world. I mean, especially like Christian or anything like that. Stand up against the wrong, and things will change that way. But if you don't do anything, there's nothing to back.
Jeff, that's a really valid point you're making, and it's a touchy subject for a lot of white people to talk about because they're afraid, and rightfully so. If you are a white person and you're pointing out what you just pointed out, they'll accuse you of being racist or insensitive to minority communities. But all we're doing here is pointing out that we are on a very dangerous path to turning a class of people into second or third class citizens. And that's the problem I have.
Yes, sir. I'm with you. I just, you know, like I say, especially the Christians, if they'll do what's right, even if they believe there's going to be repercussions.
But they're not going to do it, Jeff. I think Christians, sorry to say this, but I think a lot of Christians in America are cowards. They don't want to talk about this kind of stuff.
Yes, sir. If they do it, though, the God of the Bible would stand up for them and help them. I mean, that's faith, and that he would. So we just need to really get out there and do something and confront wrong, wherever it is.
You know, here's what gets me. I'm a Southern Baptist, and I mentioned this a time or two. And Jeff, I appreciate the call, but I get there are a lot of pastors in my denomination, white pastors, and they're on this whole kick of that if you don't have a diverse congregation, that there's something wrong with you. And there, I mean, people are openly going around counting how many minorities are in these predominantly white churches. But it's, and there are massive discussions about it. I'm just like, what? Go where you go to church, or God tells you to go to church. But it cracks me up because at the same time they're condemning all of these white churches, they don't want to talk about the other elephant in the room, which is, okay, what about the predominantly black churches? Are they just as guilty? Because nobody wants to talk about that. Look, here's my take on church. You go where God wants you to go. If it's an all-black church, go to an all-black church. What do I care? If it's an all-white church, go to an all-white church. If it's kind of like the church I go to where you've got all sorts of people, go to one of those churches. But the harder people try to make their churches more diverse, I think that's it doesn't seem like church anymore. But man, oh man, are we heading to a really ugly place in American history where you're segregating kids. There's a story we talked about over on the website, toddstearns.com. You got to see this. Sorry, guys, that was me. We've got a story up. And it's from UC California. It's the University of California, Berkeley. So they have off-campus housing specifically for minority students. And the rules and regulations, and we posted it so you could see it for yourself. In the rules and regulations, they tell the students, hey, if you have a white friend, they're not allowed to come into this dormitory. If you know somebody who is white, they're not allowed to come into this space just for minorities. Yeah, that's called segregation. I believe there was a civil rights movement that addressed that. Unbelievable what's happening in this country. And the reason why people are afraid to speak out. Well, you know what? We're not afraid here on the Todd Stearns Radio Program. We'll be right back, America. All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. This is Todd Stearns. Hope you're doing dandy today. So look, here's a great example of what we were talking about with Dr. Oz earlier in the show. And this is the last I'm going to say about Dr. Oz until, I don't know, maybe tomorrow. But Dr. Oz shares something in common with Stacey Abrams, who is running for governor in Georgia. Take a listen.
We live in a state that right now has decided to take cruelty to a new level. I am the daughter of two pastors. I have a strong moral core. I was trained to read and understand the Bible, and I will tell you this. There is nothing about the decision to eliminate access to abortion care that is grounded in anything other than cruelty and meanness and danger in the state of Georgia. Nothing. Abortion care is a medical issue. It is a medical decision, and in the state of Georgia, it is a dangerous one. Brian Kemp, and yes, I'm going to call his name, is a hard right religious extremist who has decided that he knows better than any woman about her body and has decided to make women second class citizens in the state of Georgia in the year of our Lord 2022.
All right, there, that is Stacey Abrams, and that's why every pro-life Georgia needs to get out and vote on election day, among other reasons. But there you go. Again, there is a difference. But look, Dr. Oz, he believes the same thing Stacey Abrams does about abortion. And he also believes the same thing that she believes about the Second Amendment, among other things. Just throwing that out there. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. Now, we told you about a bizarre story. We had this up on our website, toddstearns.com, from Austin, Texas. A longtime lead chaplain for the Austin Fire Department in Texas is suing the fire department and the city of Austin right now. And the reason why is he was fired. And when you get down to the nuts and bolts of it, he was really fired because he refused to recant his personally held religious beliefs. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker lines right now. And we're honored to have with us Chaplain Dr. Andrew Fox and his legal counsel from Alliance Defending Freedom, Ryan Bangert. Guys, good to have you with us today.
Pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
Dr. Fox, I'd like to start with you, and I'd like for you to share with us briefly what happened to you. Why did you get the heave-ho after 8 years as chaplain?
Well, I, having faithfully served the department for eight years in a volunteer capacity, out of the blue came an accusation about my blogging that is private and nothing to do with the fire department, and in my blog, I intelligently articulate Christian belief and argument and using reason and logic. And ultimately, I was told to apologize for doing that or I would be fired.
So, and let me back up here for just a second. That does not sound like an Austin accent. Is that what, Dallas, Fort Worth, something a little bit North Texas?
No, I was an immigrant to the United States in 1999 on a religious worker's visa. And then I became a permanent resident, then a citizen later on.
Well, we're glad
so
to
I'm British.
Well, we're glad to have you. We're glad to have you and count you as one of ours, Dr. Fox. So you wrote this blog. They told you had to, what, take it down. You had to apologize. And take us through what happened next.
Well, I was asked to apologize for my widely held and broadly believed Christian beliefs that most Americans would hold to. Nothing unique about myself. And I refused to, but I offered a letter of explanation instead. And having submitted that letter of explanation, it was rejected because there was no apology in it to those who were offended, particularly the LGBTQ community.
I want to bring in Ryan into this. Ryan Bangert from Alliance Defending Freedom. Ryan, you hear this story, and I know you guys are representing him now. You filed a lawsuit. What are you alleging that the city of Austin has done wrong here?
Well, Todd, fundamentally, the city of Austin is telling a minister who is volunteering his time to serve those who serve their community selflessly, that he cannot do that job. He cannot minister to them and ascribe to his deeply held religious beliefs. And that violates Dr. Fox's First Amendment rights. He has the right to freely speak. He has the right to conduct his ministry. And the government cannot make a condition of his service that he disclaim and recant his religious beliefs. That violates the First Amendment.
And Ryan, it's important for our listeners to understand here, and I want you to address this and not Dr. Fox, but we're dealing with a man for 8 years. He has been honored. He has been recognized. Not once has he ever been accused of being disrespectful to the LGBT community. Is that accurate?
That's exactly right. In fact, he has faithfully served every firefighter who has had a need. He has regularly ministered without regard to anyone's orientation. And he has been really a model citizen. For those who serve. And there's never been an allegation once that Dr. Fox was in any way engaging in discrimination. In fact, it was widely recognized that Dr. Fox went above and beyond, constantly serving in times of crisis, in times of need. And inexplicably, the Austin Fire Department canceled him because he was simply conducting his ministry.
Dr. Fox, I was reading through the lawsuit, and it's a pretty lengthy lawsuit, and it's very detailed. And one of the stories that really stuck out to me, involved a telephone call you received just shortly after being fired, after being dismissed. You got a call from a neighboring fire department about a drowning. I want you to tell our listeners what happened and what transpired.
Yes, department gave me a call during this summer. There had been a tragedy. They couldn't disclose too much on the phone, but they did tell me the death was involved and the chaplaincy was absolutely necessary to accompany other resource that was there. And very sadly, I had to tell that officer that I had been dismissed from the Austin Fire Department, but I would be delighted as a private citizen to respond to his call for help, not only for the immediate family of those that had lost people, but also those that had witnessed it as well, and the kind of grief that they go through. That is precisely what a chaplain would offer, pastoral and spiritual counsel that's very private and very personal. The officer on the phone was overtly disappointed that he could not invite me as a private citizen because of the tragedy and the legalities involved there. And so when I got off the phone, I quite frankly was brokenhearted that because of being cancelled, I couldn't function in a pastoral capacity to people. I don't know whether they were Christian. I don't know if they held any beliefs, but they were certainly facing tragedy. And I couldn't be there and prevented from being there because I no longer wear the badge. So I was overtly disappointed. You know, that's the reason I moved to the United States from England. It was in a ministry capacity as a Christian pastor.
You know, Ryan, I hear this story and I hear the pastor saying that he was brokenhearted, but I'm angry. Angry that those people, those strangers, were denied the compassion of a minister simply because somebody and one of these radical LGBT people may have been offended by something. That just angers me.
Well, Todd, and that's why it's so important that the government follow the First Amendment here, because there are people hurting. There are people who have real needs, and those needs are going unaddressed. Those hurts are being unmet. Those needs are being unmet because a government entity is demanding allegiance to a radical ideology and demanding that there be no dissent and canceling those who refuse to bend the knee to this ideology. And that is exactly and precisely why we have the First Amendment, to prevent these kinds of tests, to allow for freedom of speech, to allow for those who are ministering the gospel to freely minister it, consistent with their conscience and their beliefs without government retaliation.
And one of the,
what's happening here.
One of the things I found interesting, Ryan, and I was reading through the lawsuit, is that the fire department has been openly supportive of the pride movement, of the LGBT community, and that's all well and good, but clearly they don't feel that way about people of the Christian faith who may not hold or subscribe to those views.
It really is baffling that they would deny firefighters, those who serve our community selflessly, the services of someone who himself wants to serve those firefighters selflessly, free of charge, simply because he won't recant his religious beliefs. That is beyond my understanding, and that's exactly why we brought this lawsuit.
And Ryan, real quick here, I know that you guys are not, that's not your first, the first thing that ADF does. I mean, you guys try to work through and try to sort these things out without having to file a lawsuit. Has there been any kind of communication with the fire department or the city of Austin?
Well, and I know Dr. Fox worked consistently and tirelessly trying to resolve this with the fire department and took this all the way through the process, and to no avail, to no avail. So we really had no choice but to bring this lawsuit.
All right. Well, Dr. Fox, we want to stay up to date on how this case proceeds. Well, we wish you the very best, and it's just appalling what's happened to you. This is not who we are as Americans.
Yes. Yes. Thank you for that support. I deeply appreciate that.
All right. Dr. Andrew Fox and Ryan Bangert from Alliance Defending Freedom. Gentlemen, thank you. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
All right, we've got the story up on our website, and it's worth a read, but I wanted you to hear from the chaplain, and you can hear his heart over this. And it's just troubling that you have these radical gay activists out there, and they are targeting people like this chaplain, Dr. Fox. I mean, can you imagine the scene at that lake when they had the drowning, and you have all these devastated people? And we don't know if it was a family or if it was just friends or kids or whatever hanging out. And the fire department calls for a chaplain, and they're not allowed to bring him onto the scene of the incident because he's been fired. I mean, this shows you the level of hatred that these radical LGBT activists have to people of the Christian faith. It's despicable this kind of stuff is going on. And we got to call it out, and we will call it out every single time on this radio program. Shameful. All right, 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. May I just ask a question here? All this crime out there across America. By the way, there's one of these upscale shops in Beverly Hills. They've got big signs plastered on the front doors that you have to take your mask off before you can enter the store. This is brilliant. All these people were like, they were the same people saying, oh, you got to wear a mask. You got to mask up. We don't want to get the China virus. Well, now it turns out there was a problem because all these people were coming in wearing the masks, but not because they had, you know, the China virus, is they wanted to rob the place. And so now these stores are telling people, hey, you got to take your mask off before you come into our store. So anyway, all sorts of crime problems. And I'm wondering if we are, as a society, too lenient on the criminal element. I was reading a story the other day from the New York Daily News. Up in the Bronx, there is a dollar store employee, and it's the Bronx Family Dollar. And the young lady has been there for a while. She's 23 years old. She's studying to become an emergency room nurse, and she's Muslim. And the reason they're doing the story is that she has been inundated with shoplifters. At one point, there were nine shoplifting incidents in one day at the Family Dollar store. And she fights back this one. Her name is Madine Kabor. And she said that she's been cursed at, she's been spit at, she's been threatened, she's been punched, she's been choked. She's only making $17 an hour. She works in a war zone, for God's sakes. But anyway, she's an immigrant. She's here legally. And Ms. Kabor, she says, you know, we really didn't have this problem back in the home country. And I've got to read this to you because it's brilliant. She says that, you know, back home where she comes from, she says people do not do this. And if you do, you can spot the shoplifters. She said that you can identify as a thief, or you can identify the thieves, because shop owners usually cut the finger off when they catch somebody. Quote, when I see theft, I feel so bad. That stuff is not my stuff. Yes, but I'm working here, and I'm working here to go to school. So if that stuff is not there, I'm not going to get a job. If they close the store, I don't have a job. I'm jobless. How am I going to pay for school? This young Muslim immigrant has more common sense than a good many people born right here on American soil. I'm telling you. But I do wonder. I mean, what if, I mean, and again, I think we should be merciful. I think we should be compassionate. But if you go out there and you shoot somebody, you could get the death penalty. So what if we had some sort of, I don't know, very public or painful punishment for people that are, you know, doing the shoplifting? Grace is saying, don't go there, Todd. Don't go there.
I'm not commenting.
Well, I'm not saying chop off all of the fingers, but maybe per violation.
So, oh my gosh.
So you're not, it's not like three strikes you're out, it's four strikes and a thumb.
Oh.
I mean.
You can't, what are you going to use to count how many strikes you have left?
Nubs?
Oh.
I don't know. But just think about that for a moment. I mean, or maybe you can just do like, you know, in the joints. So you can just, so it's like the fingertip.
This isn't helping, Todd. I'm getting kind of queasy. It's still the lunch hour.
Why are you getting queasy?
I don't want to see it.
Look, they don't have these problems in countries where they have these kinds of laws on the book.
I mean, what if everyone was packing heat? There you go.
Well, that too. I mean,
the threat of it.
But in New York City, only the criminals are allowed to have guns.
That's the problem, right?
By way of the district attorney there. and that would be my preference. But what I'm saying is, I mean, if you're shooting somebody, you're shooting to kill, or in the case of some, shooting to make sure they don't procreate. which is good. That's good. Or shoot them in the kneecap where they, you know, have to hobble around for the rest
of
their lives.
What happened to the one guy was, I don't know if he was getting carjacked or what, and he shot the dude in the arm. The guy's like, he shot my arm. He shot my arm.
It's true. But he's still going to, you know, but that's going to, you know, it was just, he just got winged.
Yep.
So.
Clipped his wings.
I would just, yeah. And again, so the guy's going to come back and try to do it again. So you've got to make, you've got to have some sort of a punishment where they will never shoplift again. And, you know, chopping off the fingers, you know, it's, I'm not saying go out there and do it. I'm just saying it's something to think about. I mean, you don't have to do it in the store. You could, you know, go down to the doctor's office and just, I don't know. Just, we got to do something, America. We've got to do something. All right, folks, it's been fun. ToddStearns.com. Check it out. Be good, America.